to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I am your co-host, Judy Alexander, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Bruce Chalmer.
Well, hello, Judy, and hello, listeners. We have a special treat today. We are going to be doing a live interview. It is over Zoom, but we're going to do a live interview with a couple of, I would guess I'd have to call them pretty well-known folks.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have heard of them, and we were really rather touched to be contacted by them. I guess they're having something of a marital issue.
I think so.
And so we are going to interview them and, you know, see what we can do to help them out. Their names are?
Abraham and Sarah.
Abraham and Sarah. They didn't supply us with last names, but
they
said
they don't have last names.
Yeah, they don't seem to. You know, the forms that we usually have people fill out, actually, usually I set up things by email, and they didn't specify that. And I think we pretty much know who they are. They actually noted they are the Abraham and the Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we know
right
pretty much who
if
they are.
If anybody's read the Bible, they know who they are.
Yeah, they're pretty well known from that publicity. So what we're going to do is we've got them on Zoom. We're going to interview. I guess we're going to interview Sarah first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll Abraham will be hearing it because he'll be on Zoom, but he'll be muted. And then we'll mute Sarah and interview Abraham, and then bring them in together. We've done that before,
mm-hmm.
and see if we can help them out from this problem. Before we do that, just want to make a note to our listeners, if you would please do the things that people do to let people know about the podcast. Tell your friends, of course, and also rate us and subscribe to us wherever it is that you get this podcast. We would like to continue to grow the listenership as it indeed has been growing. We've been doing this now for, 10 months or so, something like that,
mm-hmm.
I think. We've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah. So without further ado, let us get into our interview. So let's get Zoom here configured. So Sarah, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, hello. Welcome to our podcast. I'm going to ask you the question that I generally ask all the couples that I work with and all the individuals I've ever worked with. How will you know if this is helping?
When I don't want to kill the guy anymore. You know, I've had it. I've had it up to here. I've been with him like over 100 years, and I have put up with so much crap from him over the years. Let's move here, let's move there, I'm not hearing a voice here, we're going there, be my sister, don't tell them you're my wife, take a concubine, have a kid. I mean, how much crap can I put up with?
Sounds like you've really actually had to put up with quite a lot.
Oh, you're not kidding. And the latest, did I write that on my form? Did I tell you the latest thing that this guy put me through?
I'm not sure you did. Why don't you tell us? And of course, you know, we have listeners, so they'll need to know, even if you did put it on the form. But yeah, tell us, what did he put you through this
time? All right, so he gets up early in the morning because he knows I'm not a morning person and I'm going to be sleeping in. And I go to get up and see what he wants for breakfast. He's gone. And not only is Abraham gone, but I can't find my son, Isaac. So obviously they went someplace. Do I know where they're going? No. And then he comes back, and my son tells me, oh, by the way, Dad almost killed me. And I said, what do you mean? So I thought maybe they almost stumbled into a pit, or maybe he threw him in the way of a snake. But no, he says, he comes up, he says, we'll go on the mountain, we're going to make a sacrifice. I say, where's the lamb? And he says, God will provide the lamb, my son. So, okay, what do I know? Dad never lied to me before. The next thing I know, he's wrapping me up and he's putting me, this is Isaac talking, not me, Sarah, and he's putting me on that altar and he's got the sticks ready to make a fire and he's got the knife raised and he's about to slit my throat. So, I mean, tell me, Bruce. What do you prefer, Dr. Chum? We don't have those names in those days.
Either one is fine.
Whatever. Yes. Okay. So tell me, Bruce, when your husband comes back from trying to slay your son with a knife to his throat, thank God he didn't do it. Some crazy voice, another one of those voices came. He didn't do it, but would you want to talk to the guy again? I ask you this. So now, how will I know this is working when I don't want to take a knife to his throat? That's how I know it's working.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I can see why that would have been a pretty upsetting experience. These voices that he hears, I mean, you mentioned that it sounds like that's happened before.
Well, you know, I don't want to make him out to be cuckoo because he really isn't, because I hear the voice too. You know, it does talk to us. But in the beginning, I believed it and, you know, was talking to both of us. Lately, I haven't heard too much of the voice. Not since I was 89 years old. Get a load of this. And the voice comes to me and says, Sarah, guess what? You're going to have a baby. Ha! I said. I laughed, you know, I'm 89, I'm not, you know, I'm like post-menopause, baby, but sure enough, I got pregnant, 90 years old, I had a kid.
Wow.
That's the boy I'm telling you about, my only child, Isaac, and Abraham wants to take a knife to his throat. Ay, vez mia.
Yeah, well, and I can see it would be kind of difficult because it's not like you're thinking he's crazy to hear the voices because, I mean, you've heard that voice too.
Right. I heard the voice. But sometimes, now, as I said, I hadn't heard it lately. But, you know, when you get these mashugana ideas, is the voice telling him to do this? Or is this like Abraham making it up and saying, oh, the voice told me to do this. So I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It might be getting to the point where he's thinking he's hearing the voice. He's not a spring chicken. I'm 127. He's older than I am.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And, you know, I did notice, you know, I was just thinking, I mean, if my wife came to me and had some idea about she, you know, needs to take one of the kids and, you know, sacrifice them, I probably would want her to take it up with me first, at least.
Right? Right? Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. He doesn't talk to me. He doesn't communicate.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't tell me what he's feeling. He doesn't tell me what he's doing. You know, I'm ready to call it quits.
I can see. Yeah, I can see that. That would be really upsetting. Maybe this would be a good time for us to invite Abraham into the conversation. He has been listening and, you know, patiently sort of sitting there. We do have it set so that the participants can't unmute themselves because, you know, people can get kind of worked up.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps I think let me check with Judy. Judy, do you think this would be a good time to bring Abraham into the conversation?
Sure. You know, I think he'd like to tell you his side of the story.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I'd be happy to talk to him and hear what he has to say.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do that? Let's patch in Abraham.
Am I going to be able to talk during this part?
Sarah, let's, if it's okay with you, or even if it isn't okay with you, we're going to put you on mute because I think we did give you a chance to talk without interruption. I think we should do the same thing for Abraham as well.
All right.
Yeah, thank you for understanding that. So, yeah, let's bring in Abraham.
Okay. Abraham, so I guess you need no introduction to our listeners, and Sarah pretty much already introduced the two of you. And you heard what she had to say, so I wanted to ask you, Abraham, there must be a side to the story that might be a little bit different than what Sarah told us. So can you tell us, number one, what happened, and two, it sounds like Sarah is not wanting to continue with this relationship. So I have two questions for you. One is, are you wanting to continue with the relationship? And the second part is, what happened?
Well, hello. You've asked me a lot of stuff there. I have to tell you, you've asked me a lot of different things in that question, and it is difficult. I will say, I do want to continue the relationship, or otherwise, you know, what are we doing here? I mean, I have read how's he say it? Chalma?
You can call him Bruce.
I got to say, this sounds a little like a Goyish name. And I, you know, I'm realizing, okay, maybe I can trust the guy and maybe I can't.
Well, it was kind of made up when they came to this country.
I think I can put in a word here to explain the name. This probably be a good time to just reassure Abraham a little bit. Although it may or may not reassure him, actually. The name Chalmer came from Chelemer, which would have been a resident of Chelem. And I'm not sure how familiar Abraham is with Yiddish stories, but that would place me in a town that in Yiddish folklore is a mythical city of fools. So that may or may not reassure him.
Don't, that might not reassure him.
But it does, it does, it reassure him of my Jewish my Jewish background. Okay.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I think, I'm not sure, but you know, we'll keep going. We did read your book at least, and I know Sarah read it too. We were sort of, you know, passing it back and forth. Mm-hmm. We wanted to save a little money. We didn't buy two copies, you know, but we were passing it back and forth. And, you know, he's got some good stuff to say, especially about this faith business.
Right, right. That's, you know, that's certainly part of the seven-word formula.
It, you know, right. It's, what was it? It's be kind, don't panic, and have faith.
Right.
Right? That's what he says. Well, exactly. I'm thinking this is sort of what I've been saying all along to people, certainly about the having faith part. Mm-hmm. So here we are, and, you know, faith's been a big part of the story since Sarah and I have been, like, you know, youngsters together. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's right. We've been together over 100 years, and, you know, I'm 10 years older than she is,
yeah.
But we got together, and, you know, we're also relatives because,
right.
You know, in our culture, this is what we do.
Right, she's kin.
She's kin to me, so we're already kin, like in the be kind part.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I try not to panic when we hear this. And look, let's be clear. This is the voice of God that's telling us these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just some Joe Schmo in the park. You know, it's the voice of God.
So it's actually God telling you. Well, what did God tell you?
Well, so this time, well, I got to go back a little because she's telling this story about, you know, she's 89 years old and she's all of a sudden being told she's pregnant and, you know, she's laughing at it. And I'm thinking, you don't laugh at the voice of God, although I have to say I kind of chuckled myself on occasion. But nevertheless, you know, here we are, and these people come to visit, you know, that I'm kind of in pain, I have to tell you, because frankly, I'd just been circumcised a few days before.
Wow.
Yeah, well, with God, this is the same voice. This voice tells me you should circumcise yourself. You should circumcise all the men who are with you. So what do? I circumcise us. And it's a little tender to do this at the age of 89, or I was 99 when this happened. So this was, you know, kind of a painful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I see these visitors coming, and I get up, and I welcome them in because, you know, if I'm nothing else, I'm hospitable. And I tell Sarah, you know, quick, put together some food. And I'm putting together for food together. And all of a sudden, she comes to me and she says, psst, Abraham. And I say, what? What do you need? And she says, I need you to run down to the store and get me some tampons all of a sudden. And I'm thinking, she hasn't said this to me in approximately 40 years.
Mm.
But all of a sudden now she needs me to run out. Mm. This is a tough thing for men to do. You should realize this.
I see.
I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to help her out. But then I'm suddenly realizing, wait a minute, what's the business if you're getting a period? And then I find out she says, well, not only am I getting a period all of a sudden at 89, I'm going to have a baby next year, which sort of has some implications for what I'm supposed to do.
I guess so.
And maybe some of her laughing was she wasn't so sure I could do it. So there, Sarah, it turned out I could, but that's another story. So this is all because we hear the voice, you know, and this seems like, well, if the voice can do this, we better be listening to this voice. I've always thought that.
Mm-hmm.
The voice tells me, get up and go from your father's house, and I get up and go from my father's house, and I schlep, like, you know, halfway across the world and, you know, end up where we are now. So what happens next? You know, we have this child. So we're believing I got to listen to this voice, you know, and I hear the voice. So I'm hearing the voice, and you know, we've got this kid now, and he's like 37 years old. He's not mm-hmm. a little kid, but you know, he's still a little boy.
He's still a little boy kid. Yeah.
Yes, of course. So I hear this voice. You know, God says to me, "Take your kid," and I say, "Well, I have two kids actually, because I had Ishmael." You know, he's another story,
mm-hmm.
but he's one of he's my kid too,
mm-hmm.
and I love him like I love my other kid. Like Isaac, Ikey, we call him. But, mm-hmm. you know, I like Ishi, I like Ikey.
Mm-hmm.
So God says, well, then take your only son, the one who's an only son. And I'm saying, well, they're both only sons of their mothers, you know, because Ishmael, Hagar only had the one and Sarah only had the one. So they're both only sons. I said, they're both only sons. And the voice says to me, the one you love. Well, what do I say to that? I love them both.
Of course.
And the voice says to me, Shmendrick, I'm talking about Isaac. Chacham. And I say, all right, what am I supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to take Isaac and go to this place, and I'll show you where it is, and offer him up as a sacrifice. Gewalt. I'm supposed to offer my kid as a sacrifice. I've spent my whole career telling people you don't offer children as sacrifices. And here's the voice of God coming to me and telling me, offer him as a sacrifice. Hey, no problem.
So God actually said to offer your son as a sacrifice?
Well, that's how I heard it. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So What do I do? You hear this voice. I followed this voice my whole career.
Yeah.
And so I get up in the morning and I tell, you know, the servants, you know, hey, saddle up the donkeys and let's get moving here. And I take Ikey and we start going up the mountain. And it's like Sarah told it, you know, that Ikey reported to her.
Mm-hmm.
He says to me, hey, I see you got everything here for a sacrifice. Except the thing you're going to sacrifice, you know, like, where's the lamb here? And I said, she quoted him accurately. I said, there, God will provide the lamb, my son. See, I was a little cagey there. Did you notice how I worded that?
Mm.
God will provide the lamb, my son. See, I could have been kind of telegraphing a little to Ikey.
Uh-huh.
And he's no dummy, you know, he's kind of quiet, but he's no stupid guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's maybe figuring this out that, So we keep on going up the mountain, you know, we finally get there. And sure enough, he knows he's not resisting. I tie him up and I put him on the altar and I get ready and I take the knife. And sure enough, the last minute, I'm just about to do the deed. And all of a sudden this, you know, this being shouts and says, Abraham. Abraham has to say it twice. It's like the first time I'm hearing it, I'm thinking, is this a test? What am I supposed to do here? And it says, Abraham, don't do it. All right, I didn't do it.
Oh, thank goodness.
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, it's the voice of God. What are you supposed to do? I'm a man of faith, you know? I've always been of faith.
Mm.
So what happens? So we go back down the mountain, and she won't talk to me.
Yeah.
She won't even talk to me.
Do you understand why she might not want to talk to you?
Well, I suppose. I mean, I do understand there's sometimes kind of a conflict between this understanding of what the voice of God is telling us to do and some of the stuff the voice of God seems to be telling us to do. You know, some of the people who are talking to me about this thing are telling me, you know, again, you know, Shmegegi, you were being tested all right, but you failed. You should have said to God, are you kidding me? I'm supposed to sacrifice my son? You're telling me for all these years, telling everybody else, no, we don't sacrifice children. We don't do this.
Right.
And now
right.
You're telling me, and I should have argued with God. I've done it before, after
you
all.
You have done it before.
I have.
You have, yes.
I argued with God about Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, I said, come on, you can't just destroy everybody. You're supposed to be a just God.
So why did you argue then and not this time?
Well, because there was something about how I heard the voice, I suppose. And I don't know what to do with that, except, you know, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. And for some reason, well, I guess I can understand the reason, but for some reason, Sarah didn't like this. But is this a reason that she should be so awful to me? She won't even talk to me? I mean, you know, what is that all about?
Well, I think we should bring Bruce in on this. Maybe he could give it a little bit more clarity. He's the trained expert. So, Bruce, can you unmute yourself? And, you know, Abraham just asked that question, you know, is this something that Sarah should break up with him about? I don't think he understands why she's so upset.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question and a very difficult question. Of course, what we're going to have to do in a moment, we should bring Sarah in on this and invite that question from her as well. You know, I hope Abraham can at least understand why she was upset. You know, if he can't understand that, I mean, we need to maybe work on that with him, because how can a mother, you know, I mean, Sarah, yes, she's not just... And, you know, Abraham's a father, Sarah's a mother, right? But neither one of them is just a parent. They also have an obligation to the voice of God that they're hearing, and they have an obligation to, you know, all the people who follow them.
Yeah.
And so it is bigger than them. But they are also a father and a mother. And, you know, maybe what part of what Sarah is really upset by is here's Abraham who's, like, forgetting he's a father in the midst of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part of what... I wonder is the message that God was trying to tell all of us through this is that idea that you, just because you're going to be a leader of people, you can't forget that you're also parents of actual children.
Right. good
and,
point.
And so, yeah. But, you know, let's, why don't we invite Sarah back and Abraham
okay.
back in. And
sure.
So Sarah, if you, and Abraham, go ahead and unmute both of you and let's see where this goes. I do want to start though by asking Sarah, what are your thoughts about this? You know, do you want to stay in the relationship?
That's a good question. And honestly, Bruce, I just don't know. I've had it up to here and it's like one more thing. Everything was okay until he took that concubine Hagar with her son Ishmael.
Well, wait a second here. You were the one who suggested it, you know. It was your dumb idea. Well, maybe it wasn't a dumb idea, but it was your idea. I mean, you know, you weren't having any kids. And I was thinking, you know, we were both thinking the problem might be, you know, with you.
Did I know she was going to get so haughty once she had your son?
No.
Did I know that he was going to be a little pedophile playing with my little Ikey? No.
Well, you know, it's not 100% clear. You know, we had the authorities come and investigate that pedophile business, and they were not totally able to substantiate that, I just want to say. You know, you were picking up a little bit on, you know, how they were describing it, but we're not 100% sure that.
Anyway, he was a bad influence on Ikey, you know that. And Hagar, whatever she calls herself, became so high and mighty that, you know, you'd think that her crap doesn't smell, you know?
So listen, so why is it? You know, yeah, I didn't want to throw her out. I didn't want to get rid of them. But did I do it? I did. And why did I do it? Because the voice of God told me to listen to Sarah. That's why the voice of God told me. And now you're telling me I shouldn't be listening to the voice of God.
And guess who came back? They came back. Remember, you threw her out and she came back with that ishki of hers. Ugh.
Yeah, well, they came back, but not for a while. And, you know, I listened to the voice of God who told me I should listen to you. You were the one who told me these things. So I listened to you.
So why didn't you tell me at this latest juncture that you were going to take our son, our only son, and bring him up on a mountain and chop his head off?
No, I think maybe I should intervene at this point just to help clarify a little bit. Actually, you know, I'd probably let me go ahead with that question though, Abraham. I mean, why didn't you take it up with Sarah at first?
Well, I don't always take up things with Sarah, especially when it's the voice of God talking, because look, frankly, if I talk to her about this, I'm pretty sure I know what she would have said, and now what do I do? I got my wife telling me one thing, and I got HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, the Holy One, blessed be God, telling me something else. What am I supposed to do about that?
Listen to your wife. That's what God told you. Listen to your wife.
Well,
so you know what I would have told you? I would have said, Abraham, I think you and God should have a talk about this because it doesn't sound too kosher to me. You know what I'm saying? So if you and God discuss this rationally, like you did with the whole Sodom and Gomorrah thing, maybe you could come to a better conclusion. That's what I would have said. Not that I don't have faith in my Lord, because Lord knows I do. But I would have said this time, it might be a good idea to have a conversation.
You know, I want to take this up with you for a second, because that's something had it never occurred to me that one of the messages of our understanding this could be exactly that. It's like God previously told Abraham to listen to his wife Sarah.
Mm.
And had he listened to his wife Sarah, they would have had that kind of, she would have been the one providing that wisdom.
That, you know, that's true. That's something I hadn't thought of either.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Sarah, that you bring up.
I got to put in here, yes, it's a good point she brings up, but it's easy to think of these things after the fact, right? And, you know, I got to think on my feet. Well, in this case, I was thinking in my sleep. But nevertheless, I got up in the morning knowing what I had to do. And it wasn't on the list to say, by the way, say Mother May I to my wife. So, you know, what am I supposed to do about this?
What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to knock on my door and say, Sarah, I got a problem. And maybe this is something you and I need to talk about this time. All right? That's what you were supposed to say. But did you? No.
You didn't consult me. You didn't consult Isaac. You didn't consult anybody. You just went and blindly did it because God told you to do it.
Which is what I do, you know? I mean, God tells me to do something, I'm supposed to do the thing, and I understand what you're saying, but, you know, this is not the way it happened. Does this mean you're going to, you know, throw it over? Throw over 100-plus years of our relationship over this?
This gets back to something that Bruce was talking about earlier. Actually, not Bruce so much. You, Abraham, when you were talking about faith. So you want to tell us a little bit about faith that made you start a whole new, well, I guess what we call religion.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was very young, I was realizing, I mean, I've always been, you know, when I was a little pisher, I was a thoughtful little kid. The other kids, you know, used to make fun of it sometimes, I have to admit. Because I was kind of nerdy, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way I was. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, you know, here's my father and he's in the business of making idols and people are paying him money and that's how he makes his living, you know. And they take the idols and they worship the idols. And I know they're not thinking literally the idols are the things that are doing things, but they're symbols of the gods they're believing in. And I'm thinking these idols, yeah, they might think they're symbols of the gods, but they're just pieces of stone, you know? Mm. So then there, one day I decide, all right, what if I smash them and I'll put the hammer in the, you know, in the hand of one of the idols? And my father gets all upset with me and he says, what happened to all the idols? And I say to him, well, it must have been the big one that hit all the others. And he says, that's ridiculous. What are you, Miss Sugar? They're not capable of doing this. And I say, so if they're not capable of doing this, then what are you worshiping them for? Which was a good point in terms of rhetoric, but didn't get me very far in terms of, you know, like privileges as a teenager, I'll tell you. He wasn't exactly about to, you know, give me the family station wagon when I'm pulling crap like that. So, you know, I'm just saying I was always thinking about this and mm-hmm. you know, kind of by logic came to realize that all these things that people worship, you know, the sun and the moon and the stars and all these other
stones. And the idols, right?
And the idols, you know, and they're all worshiping these things. And I'm realizing none of them are capable of being like the ground of the universe, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is when I'm starting to hear this intense voice that is saying, Abraham, you're on to something here. Mm-hmm. And that's when he tells me, you need to go move somewhere else and start a new movement. Mm-hmm. And so this is what I do. I get up and I go and, you know, my father's trailing along and I've got my wife and I've got the people that, you know, we've been able to convince along the way. Mm-hmm. And so it's a movement. And so this has been my whole career. You know, this happened a long time ago and I'm still at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Sarah was okay when you wanted to start this movement. She enjoyed it and she felt the same way you did.
She seemed to. She certainly was okay with it. You know, she was royalty herself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, she was you know, from the same clan. And, you know, we were pretty high-born people in our culture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was fine with the fact, look, when we started out, our names weren't even the same. You know, I wasn't Abraham, I was Abram or Avram. And she wasn't Sarah, she was Sarai. And then we go through this intense kind of communication with God, and all of a sudden their names are changed. And uh-huh. I become Abraham, and she becomes Sarah. Uh-huh. And she was fine with this.
Yeah.
She was fine. She's been a really a partner in this whole thing mm-hmm. all the way through.
Yeah. So it must be difficult for you to see the deterioration of your relationship after all this time when you said she was a partner up until this point.
I would say so. It's been very difficult. It is not easy to observe her. And I can't figure out if she's losing her faith, yeah. which I would feel terrible about, or if there's something else going on here. And I'm not sure what it is.
So why don't we bring Sarah back into the conversation?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Yeah, Sarah, what is happening for you? I mean, do you feel like you've lost faith, or what are your thoughts about that?
Boy, Bruce, that is such a good question. You know, I just don't know at this point. I really believed in God and really believed that God would provide for us and look out for us, which God has done all these years. And then gave me the son that I always wanted. And then
that's why it doesn't make sense for Abraham to want to sacrifice him. So I'm really grappling with this whole thing. It's like done a number on my heart. My heart is just, I'm having palpitations at night. I can't sleep. I don't know if, well, I think I believe still in God. I don't know if I believe in Abraham.
It's I hear what you're saying. Yeah, that is a tough one. Yeah. Yeah, I hope you can get some medical attention if you need that for your heart. I know you're talking emotionally, but also physically. You know, at 127, you could be at some risk, and I hope you'll pay attention to that.
When I first heard, believe me, I thought I was having a heart attack. So I think, frankly, I don't even know if I believe anymore in God and Abraham, but I do know this. This is gonna kill me. This will be the death of me.
Oh my, well, you know, God forbid that that would happen. I hope that's not what happens.
Well, I hope not, but you know, it just took however many years left on my life that I had, it just took them away.
Well, I have to tell you that I feel terrible to hear you saying that, and I don't want anything bad to happen to you, because in spite of all of this, I still love you. And I would hate to think that anything would happen to you from this. And I suppose what this could mean for me is that, you know, I think this is probably the end of my public career. I can't see that I'm going to be doing the kind of, you know, great gestures that I'd been doing before, fighting off the kings and, you know, arguing with God about things and all those things I've been doing. And, you know, I wonder if this is going to be kind of the end of my career as well. But
I wonder if anybody's even going to follow in your movement anymore. Like, who wants to follow a guy that wants to kill his kid?
Well, it's going to be up to our kids. That's what it's going to be up to. It's going to be up to Isaac. And, you know, by now he's had a couple of kids. And maybe his kids are going to be able to do something about this as well. So we can kind of trust in the next generation, even if it's our turn to move on. And I wonder if that's the case.
Well, I think that's a good point, Abraham. You know, it does reach a point where the next generation does have to take over. But I think in this generation, you and Sarah still need to make your peace. And do you have any concluding words on how that might look from your end?
Well, I hope we're able to do so. I suppose after this, we'll try and get together and see if we can have a conversation. And I just hope that we're able to do that. And I hope that Sarah is willing to do that. And maybe, Sarah, I'll ask you if you're willing to do that.
Well, if I don't throw myself under a camel caravan first, you got to give me some time to let this all process. You know, this whole thing, I got to process it. I got to have a talk with the Lord and see, you know, like what God wanted from me out of this. And I'm not saying no. I'm not saying like everything's going to be back to normal, but I'm not saying no, I'm never going to talk to you again. But I will say, you got to give me time, Abraham. You just got to give me time.
Well, I can do that. I can give you time.
Well, I think that's pretty good, you know, because when Sarah came in, it sounded like she wouldn't even give you the time of day.
Yeah, I will add to that as well. I think this would be this is a great time, I think, to wrap up the session. I think we've accomplished perhaps what we can accomplish today, and I want to thank Abraham and Sarah for coming on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Thank you both very much.
Well, you're very welcome, and I hope this has been helpful, and I'm glad we sought you out. You know, that book that Dr. Chalmers wrote, or Bruce wrote, that's been very helpful to us.
And, yeah, that Reigniting the Spark.
Yeah, Reigniting the Spark, and that's, you know, kind of what we're needing here is to reignite the spark, and so we are grateful for that, and we're grateful for your help in this interview, and best wishes to you both.
I will say I feel better now than when I first came in, so thank you, Judy and Bruce. You've been very helpful to me.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that. And
thank you for saying that, Sarah.
Yeah, that's it really is good to hear that. So we're going to end the Zoom session now. So thank you, Abraham and Sarah.
Mm, thank you so much. And good luck.
So listeners, I hope you enjoyed that experience. It was quite interesting for us as well, you know, to kind of get their firsthand point of view. We've, you know, probably read the stories. But you know that the press gets a hold of things and writes it up, and it's not always accurate from the point of view of the people involved.
That's true.
They have their own spin on it. So I hope, listeners, that you enjoy that. And if you have ideas for other folks that you'd like us to interview, we'd certainly like to hear from you. You can email us at bruce@brucechalmer.com. You can visit brucechalmer.com, which is also where you can look at all the past episodes of this podcast and make suggestions for topics that you'd like us to discuss, even if we're not interviewing other folks. And we would also like to put in a plug for the book. And I want to thank Abraham and Sarah for plugging the book as well.
Yes,
much appreciated.
They are very satisfied customers.
And the full title of the book is
Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
And it is available in multiple formats. You can get it on paper, of course, as Abraham and Sarah were doing. I don't know if they would have had a Kindle available to read it by, but theirs was probably actually on a scroll.
On a papyrus scroll.
You can get it now on paperback, also for Kindle, and also on Audible as well.
Right.
The Audible book's actually been doing pretty well. Mm. So we invite you to look for that anywhere you get books.
And it's narrated by you.
The Audible is narrated by
you. You get to hear the author's voice.
Exactly, yes. So until next time,
remember, be kind,
don't panic,
and have faith.